starting to get big and garden.
And yeah, and
Jock.
See, I knew I'd remember that. Just need a little coaching. My name retention is really low. Genesis chapter 10. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, Madon, and Javan, Tubal, Meshech, Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphan to Gomarma, and the sons of Jama, Elisha, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Dodim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Cana. These and the sons of Cush, Sheba, and Heleva, and Sabeth, and Rama, and I don't know how you pronounce that, and the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Calah. And Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. Now, let me just stop reading there and pray. Lord, help us to teach the Word of God tonight. I pray that we'd make it clear and understandable. We'd glean something from it. It may help us spiritually. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 10, when you first look at it, looks like kind of a boring chapter, because all it does, it takes the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and lists their children and their children's children. And then it gives you a very brief, very abbreviated location of where these people settled. Just a real sketchy outline geographically of where these three sons and their descendants settle on the face of the earth. Now, basically, they end up settling on three continents: Europe, Asia, and Africa. And of course, these three boys are going to be three different colors. They're going to be yellow and black and white. And this migration for them settling, I mean, that's not an overnight thing. Matter of fact, in chapter 11, which is a parenthetical chapter, it explains to you how all that happened. They try to build the Tower of Babel, and God confounds the language. They can't get along, so they disperse. One group goes this way, one group goes that way, and the other group goes some other direction. And then after they get dispersed, God breaks up the landmass. Genesis 11:25, in the days of Peleg was the earth divided. And so it's a time-consuming process. I don't want you to think that it happened instantaneously. It took a while. And they migrate slowly. They move slowly. But given enough time, basically they get the black man down in Africa, the white man in Europe, and the yellow man in Asia. And those are the three major divisions. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? And there's a lot of controversy about it, mostly because a lot of 20th century Americans have been so brainwashed by mindless 20th century education that nobody studies anything anymore. Nobody pays any attention to anything anymore. Everybody parrots things these days. So-and-so said, and so-and-so said, and they end up quoting each other and never looking to see what it was the first guy said. I remember some years ago, I was studying UFOs. I bought all the books that were on the market at the time. I went to used bookstores and bought books, and I got an original copy of Operation Blue Book and Major Kehoe and all them guys. And I must have had 50 or 60 books. And I started reading through those things, making notes. If you ever see a book after I get through with it, you don't want to read it. I got arrows pointing all kind of ways, and I make nasty little snide comments. I mess a book up big time. But I start reading through those things, making notes, and after about 10 or 12 books, I noticed something. If I'd have been real smart, I'd probably have noticed it after 2 or 3 books, but I had to read 8 or 10. And you know what I figured out? All them guys was referring to the same thing. And they just referred to each other's book. They say, now Major Kehoe said in his book, and Donald Black said in his book, and if you go back and get Major Kehoe's book and Donald Black's book, they are citing the same references this guy cited. But it looks more impressive. It looks like all kind of stuff's going on because they've got all these referrals to other books on the subject. When the truth is, there's only about 15 major events and everybody refers to the same one. They just do it over and over and over again. Just a tremendous waste of time. What was I talking about? I forgot where I was at. Ma'am? Oh, yeah. Our generation doesn't think. It doesn't read. It doesn't research. Somebody tells it something, it just takes that for granted and runs with it. Now, we've been taught in public schools, public education, and college, and all through there, that all the races are the same. God makes no distinction between them. That basically it's a crime against nature and it's a social crime to make distinctions between the races. And the best thing that could happen for mankind was for everybody to get together and be united and forget our cultural differences and our physiological differences and our psychological differences and just become one big heterogeneous mass, which is just sheer and absolute nonsense. If God Almighty is anything at all, He is a segregationist. Amen. You can like it if you like it, and if you don't like it, too bad. He is anyway. God Almighty starts with segregation and ends with segregation and practices segregation from the beginning to the end. Amen. And man's immoral, ungodly, anti-biblical, unscriptural concept of putting everybody together so that we can have harmony and unity is as wicked a thing as anybody ever tried to do. I got one amen. Well, I'd still preach it if I hadn't got the one. I want to try and demonstrate that for you tonight for just a few minutes. I want you to understand. Now, we could spend a lot of time. I have a list here of all three of Ham's or Noah's sons and their sons. Every name that's listed down there, I have a location for where they settle. There's absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind that ever researched the subject where these men settled and what race they're from. Japheth down there in the first part. One of his sons called Gomer settled in North Germany. That's where we get the Saxons and the Celts and the Gauls and the Franks. They all settle in Europe. Magog settled above the Black Sea. That's where you get the Turks and the Russians. Kittim is Cyprus. Meshech is where we have modern Moscow. All those people are white people. They're white Russians. They're white Germans. They're white Europeans. All those are the descendants of Japheth. Now, if you have any doubt about that, you need to turn over and read Ezekiel chapter 38, and all those names are listed again. And over there, they come down from the north against Israel from the Caucasus Mountains. Well, the only thing north of Israel on the other side of the Caucasus Mountain is Russia. So, I mean, it's not a matter of Brother Hensley said or my private interpretation. That's where it's at. And people don't know that because they won't read. Ham, the second guy there, the son that committed the sin against his father. Bible said that Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. He said, well, which one's the younger? Well, it says Shem and Japheth got a blanket and turned around backwards and walked in and covered their father. Well, there was only three sons. So if Shem and Japheth covered their father's nakedness, which one saw him? Say, you don't have to be a brain. Now, all them sons of Ham. By the way, the word Ham means burnt black or heat. Got a son there named Cush. Cush is the modern day Hebrew word or Aramaic word for Ethiopia. Does anybody know where Ethiopia is at? It is still in sub-Saharan Africa as far as I know, geographically. I mean, that's where it's fixed at on the planet. Ham, or Cush, settles in Ethiopia. His boy there, Mizraim. Did y'all see that? Look down in verse 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim. That's the same word. If you picked up an Israeli newspaper today and read it, Mizraim is the word for Egypt. Anybody know where Egypt's at? Still in Africa. You figured out yet where all Ham's sons went? They're the Africans. Ham and all of his descendants are the black race. And that's not my private personal interpretation. That's what it says in a Bible. Matter of fact, in Psalm 105 and Psalm 106, when God delivered Israel from Egypt after 430 years of servitude, it says in Psalms that God did marvelous things for Israel in the land of Ham. Now, where were they at? They were in Egypt, say. Those Hamites settled Africa. The Japhethites settled Europe. And then the last fellow down there is Shem. And that's your... Mongoloid, that's your Chinese guy and Japanese guy and all those kind of folks. Elam settles over in Iraq. He's mingled with Cush. Asher settles in the northern parts of Tigris and Euphrates. Axphorid settles in Assyria. Lud is Eastern Asia Minor. Aram, and you can find all those names down there. Or where the Armenians and the Aramaic and the Syrians come from. Uz, that's the land of Job. Everybody knows what Job is, Job was at. Who comes from there? Well, Job comes from Uz, and then just a little later, Abraham comes from Eber, and they're just right across the street from each other. All those guys are your Asians. They're the... Mongoloid. So, and all those locations are found in Asia and Asia Minor. So, after the flood and after the earth breaks up, you have three races of people in three distinct and three separate parts of the world, separated by water. They're isolated. You got the black man in Africa, the white man in Europe, and the yellow man in Asia. They're all your Orientals. Now, who did that? God did that. Why did God do that? Well, Genesis chapter 11, he did it so that man could not get together and accomplish everything he wanted to. The entire purpose of segregating the races was to limit their ability to do things. Because when all three races get together to accomplish a thing, God said, and now shall nothing be withheld from them that they set their mind to do. Therefore, he dispersed them. Because when all the races got together and used their collective talents and skills and abilities, they left God out. And there's the problem. Have you not noticed that as the world becomes more and more integrated, as we become more of a global society, there is less and less God in it? It becomes more and more wicked. It becomes more and more ungodly. Because man said, well, we can do this. We can accomplish that. We can conquer this. Why? There's nothing we can't do. Give us enough time and resources. And that's what God said way back in Genesis chapter 11. And he said, I don't want you to do that, so I'm going to fix it so that you can't. So all this modern mess, you see, of putting everything together is against God. So you're in probably one of the few Baptist churches in the whole country that's a segregationist church. And not one bit ashamed. Now, I didn't say we hated anybody. We don't. I like to see everybody get saved. Black ones, white ones, yellow ones, green ones, purple stripes. It don't make a difference to me. I want to see them live right. I want to see them have a good life. I want to see them prosper. Anything they're willing to work and labor and accomplish, glory to God, go get it, cowboy. I'm all for it. But don't kid me that we're all the same and that we all belong together. We don't. Amen. Now, I said God's a segregationist. Let me demonstrate for you that God Almighty is a segregationist in everything. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 46 and 47, God segregates animals. Clean and unclean. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass. Talking about putting them together. That's unequally yoked. One's clean, one's unclean. You can't do that. God separates the nations. Genesis 10:38. Or 10:32. God separates Israel from all the rest of the world. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 9. God segregates, isolates, separates Christians from the rest of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. God Almighty doesn't even want dissimilar cloths put together. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9 through 12. They say it's 50% cotton, 50% rayon. Not supposed to do that. We do it. But God said not to do it. Of course, that's just one of a few thousand things God said not to do that we do anyway. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5, and in verse 13 and 15, God separates, segregates, isolates the saved and the lost. For eternity. Matthew chapter 25. He separates the sheep from the goats. Genesis 9:25 and 27. He separates the races. Now, in Genesis chapter 1. He segregates light and darkness. And God divided. And that's the way it is all through that book. You can't find, you probably can't find one teacher, one sociologist in a college in this part of the world that would agree with that statement. And I'm right and they're wrong. Because my position is a biblical position and theirs is unbiblical. And the God that created them and separated them for their own good and for His glory knows more about it than that bunch of unsaved, liberal, left-wing, radical school teachers. Amen. You know what God said when the races got mixed up and they weren't supposed to? Over in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 23 through 29, there were a bunch of Jews over there, a bunch of Israelites who are Shemites. They're Orientals. They got mixed up and married some people from Ashdod. The people from Ashdod are Hamites. Anytime you read in the Bible about the Hivite, the Jebusite, the Girgashite, all those ites inside, all those are Hamites. They're all from the same race. The people of Ashdod are Hamites. And those Jews went down there and they got all tangled up and they lived next door to each other. And so they married each other. The Jewish boys married them little Hamite girls. And the Hamite boys married little Jewish girls. In Ezra chapter 9, verse 1 through 13, there's a discussion about the mingled seed. How it was wrong to have the Hamites and the Shemites mixed together. So in Ezra chapter 9, verse 10 and 11, they are ordered to divorce one another. And in chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, the divorce is accomplished. Now read Ezra, read Nehemiah, and you'll find out that when they got mingled together, and some of them had children, and God told them, separate them anyway. So why is that? Because the races aren't supposed to get mixed up together. Now, I've used this illustration till I'm weary of using it, but I just don't know a better one. You take somebody that raises dogs, or cats, or cows, or anything, and they say, we've got thoroughbred, registered Charolais cows. We've got registered Holstein, registered Black Angus. We've got a 10-generation pure poodle. Got his pedigree and all that 10 generations back. You know what that guy's going to do with that pedigreed poodle? He's going to put a fence around it. And he is going to make sure that his poodle only mates with and reproduces with another purebred poodle. Because if it's got anything else in it at all, it is absolutely worth a dollar. You take a $50,000 Charolais bull and mate it with a Black Angus cow, and the offspring is worth 60 cents a pound. It's just nothing. So why is that? Because its bloodline is corrupted. Now the way you get the best of anything is you isolate it. Then you breed it within its own species to the strongest and the smartest of its own kind. That is, to get the best poodle in the world, you only breed it with good, strong, healthy, bright, thoroughbred poodles. That's the only way you get a good Charolais bull. That's the only way you get a good Black Angus. And that's the only way you can get a real good Japhethite or a Shemite or a Hamite. And when you mix them, you tear down the system. And you diminish the quality of each race. Just that simple. It's not a matter of hate or prejudice or don't like. It's just a matter of biology. It's a matter of Bibleology. That's the way God wanted it. You would think that it would occur to somebody if there was a specific black race and a specific yellow race and a specific white race and they are psychologically different. They don't have the same mindset. So now how do you know that? Well, they don't like the same kind of music. You ever listen to that Oriental stuff? Boing, doing, 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 doing. You're about half nuts to listen to that. Them guys enjoy that nonsense. You ever listen to Hamite? Boom, chaka, boom, chaka, boom, chaka, boom. You ever listen to Japheth? All his music is marches. All the great music of the white races is a march. It's military. He's the conqueror. He's the materialist. You know they got a different mindset because they listen to different music. They're not the same. Not only are they different psychologically, they're different physiologically. Have you not noticed how easy it is to tell Shem, Ham, and Japheth apart? If Von Soden and Stephen Fetchit and Yamasota walk up on the front porch, you don't have any problem figuring out which one's which. Do you?
Amen.
So why is that? Because what? Skin color is different. The hair is different. The nose is different. Facial features are different. Skeletal differences. We're just that God made them different. So what is the crime? Why is it so immoral? Why is it so hellish a thing to maintain the differences? That'll be absolutely honest with you. It don't work trying to force them together anyway. They don't get along. They don't. They fight. Because they're psychologically different. They're physiologically different. They got different mindsets. They like different music. How in the world do you make things that are dissimilar cohesive? You don't. It never works. Well, enough of that. Now, let me give you something a little more interesting and somewhat more spiritual. There are three boys here, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And these three guys, of course, they settle on three different continents. They represent three different groups of people or three different races of people. The Negroid, the Costroid, and the Mongoloid. And they have certain characteristics that follow their group down through the ages. There are basic fundamental things about Japheth, that is the white guy, that have been the same for 6,000 years. They are inherent in our basic nature. Just like Ham has certain things that follow him, and Shem has things that pertain to him that have not changed, regardless of their geographical location, the name of their country, or the century in which they live. There are basic things about our race that have remained constant and the same. Now, those three boys picture the three parts of man. You're what's called a trichotomy. Tri is three. Chotomy means to divide. So it's three in one. A man is three creatures, three entities, three persons, three parts in one structure. You are a body, a soul, and a spirit. I heard G. Gordon Liddy the other day. Some fella called in and wanted to know what the difference between the soul and the spirit was. And G. Gordon Liddy, being an expert on everything, if you don't believe it, ask him, said that, he said, that's very simple. He said, the soul and the spirit are the same thing. There is no difference. They're synonymous terms. Well, G. Gordon Liddy obviously never read his Bible a day in his life. He's an out-of-fellowship Roman Catholic, by his own admission. I didn't say that about him. He said it about himself. His church didn't have anything to do with him because he's a criminal, a felon, and he doesn't practice his religion. Anyway, there's definitely a real difference between your soul and your spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 said, and I pray God preserve you blameless, body and soul and spirit. You've got three parts. And that's because you're created in the image of God. And God is what's called a triune God. He's a trichotomy. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's only one God, but there are three parts to Him. Just like there are three parts to you. Now, the truth is, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If a thing is real, if it exists, if it's corporal, it's got three parts. You can't think of anything, you can't imagine anything that doesn't have three parts if it's in the physical world. It just doesn't exist. You think of any subject or any object, any form of measurement known to man, it's got three parts to it. If it doesn't have three parts, it's not real. Then people say, well, preacher, what about the fourth dimension? Well, the fourth dimension is reality. If you have past and present and future, three together and you have a thing, you have an object. That's the reality. A board is 8 feet long, 2.5 inches wide, 1.5 inches thick. That's length, width, and depth, or breadth. That's all there is. When you've got those three, you've got something. Maybe what we had there was a 2x4. It kills me that a 2x4 is 1.5 by 3.5. Why isn't it 2x4? You pay $3 for it, and why don't you go in there and say, give me 1.5 by 3.5 board. You go in there and say, give me a 2x4. Nonsense. Our world's nuts. Now, if a thing is real, it's got three parts. God's got three parts. Man's got three parts. God's got a body, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's got a soul, God the Father. And God's got a spirit, the Holy Spirit. A man's got a body. You can see that. As a matter of fact, this is probably what you spend 99.9% of your time taking care of. This thing right here. But you also have a spirit, matches the Holy Spirit, and you have a soul, which matches the God the Father, which matches all three parts of the Godhead. You are created in His image. Got it? When God does things, God does it in threes. There are three heavens. Paul said, I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one called up to the third heaven where God is. Right, there are only three. Now, Milton said there were seven hells. I don't know about that, but there are only three heavens. There's the atmospheric heavens where you breathe. That's where your head is at right now. There are the starry heavens where the constellations and solar systems and galaxies and all that reside. And then there's the third heaven where God is. And that's all there is. But when God did it, He did it in threes. When He built the tabernacle, it's in three parts. You have the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The outer court, which was open to the common people, is typical of the body. The holy place, where the priest could go to minister and clean themselves and prepare and all that, matches the soul. And then the Holy of Holies is where the Spirit is at. That's where the very presence of God resides. You have to remember, God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the Holy of Holies represents the Spirit. That tabernacle is a picture of the universe. That tabernacle is a picture of man. That tabernacle is a picture of God. God does things. He does it in threes. And so we got three boys here that settle on three continents that represent the three parts of man. They illustrate the basic fundamental characteristics of man, of the body, of the soul, and of the spirit. Japheth, the white guy, of course, is the soul.
And the soul is the driving force in you. That soul, that's where your emotions at. That's where your drive and all those kind of things are at. Well, Japheth is the guy to do that because we're the conqueror. We're also, by the way, the killer. We've started most of the wars, shed most of the blood. Now, we invented most of the goodies, too. But there's a price for our inventiveness. If you don't go along with us, we'll conquer you. If you don't like it doing our way, we'll kill you. That's the history of the white guy. We've always been a warlike people. Japheth represents the soul because that's the motivating part, the part that gets something done, the part that's restless and can't stand still. Shem, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. That Oriental is the most religious group of people on this earth. Every major monotheistic religion in the world comes from a Shemite. White guys don't invent religion. We copy it. We participate in it. We mess it up. We argue against it. But we never invent it. There is no good religion ever been known to come from a white man. It comes from Shemite. The Jew is an Oriental. He's a Shemite. Well, so here's Shem, represents the spirit, and Japheth represents the soul. What's left for Ham? The body. The dirt. You understand? The dirt. What is this made out of? Dirt. What would you expect this to be? Dirty. You would expect it to be earthy, carnal, earthly minded. You would expect this thing to crave and cleave to and long for the things of this world. That's what it's made out of. That's as natural as the spirit of man hungering after God. God's a spirit. Say it. The whole thing's just real simple. Now, Ham pictures the flesh or the body. And it's dirty. It's defiled. So all through your Bible, from Genesis all the way to the end, anytime you come across Ham, you come across a fellow who is bound to the earth and who is pictured as black, and black is always interpreted as bad or dirty. It always is. Now, anybody that knows anything about Ham knows that Ham has a problem with morals. You give a Hamite a bottle and a baby doll, and you got a happy Hamite. I'm not being ugly. That's all it takes to make him happy. He's not worried about conquering the world. He's not worried about fighting great theological battles or philosophical battles. He's concerned about indulging and gratifying the flesh. Just put him on some good jungle funk music. Give him a jug of Sly Fox and a little Sweetheart, and he'd be as happy as a pig in the sun. He's not worried about the problems of the world. He's not worried about conquering outer space. That's Japheth. We got our big, long, snooty nose in everything. We can't leave anything alone. Nothing is sacred to us. We'll take on anybody and anything. And Shem's sitting over there going, doing, 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 doing. Did I tell you a story about the little guy that had the sitting under the date palm playing his ukulele? Or playing his guitar is what it was. And he was just going, ching, ching, ching. ching, ching, ching. Ching, ching, ching. Finally, this guy has been listening to him for a while. I said, man, he said, why don't you do something else? He said, I've seen famous guitar players, you know, and when they play, man, they go all up and down the fretboard and move all around. He said, yeah, man. He said, I know they do. He said, but they looking for it. He said, I haven't found it. I love that story. Simple things keep me happy. When you have an empty head, it doesn't take much to please you. Now, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the body, the soul, and the spirit, pictured in Ecclesiastes as silver, gold, and the pitcher, which is dirt. The pitcher, clay pitcher, make it out of mud and you bake it and then you hold water in it. But Ecclesiastes 12, where it's talking about man's life coming to an end before he goes to the long home and all that, said, ere the silver cord be broken, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the cistern. That's a body, a soul, and a spirit. That silver cord, that has to do with a man's soul. And that golden bowl has to do with the spirit. And that pitcher is what you put those things in. That pitcher is a picture of the body. Man is a body, a soul, and a spirit. And that thing is made out of gold, silver, and dirt. So in you, there's a spirit represented in the Bible by gold, a soul represented in the Bible by silver, and a body made out of the dust of the ground. And they are pictured by Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What color is Shem? Like gold. And what color is Japheth? White like silver. And Ham is good black Georgia dirt. Now, the truck farming area of Georgia is black. Just black. Anyway, where are we at? Y'all had enough of this? You have? Okay, I'll quit then. Chapter 11 next week.